B-Pod Studios.
We know talking sports is essential.
All right, let's hear what's going on.
Listen to the Sports Hub on your smart speaker and on the Sports Hub app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Man, forget going to the club to meet something new. When I want to meet something new, I go get me a basket and I go walk around Walmart. All the women being Walmart.
Joe, put the dreads. Come on.
I'm going to Walmart. She going to Walmart. They going to Walmart. They be at Walmart. We going to Wally World.
Basket.
Ooh, she making groceries.
She making groceries.
She got Louisiana purchase.
She got Louisiana purchase call.
Ooh, she got Louisiana purchase.
She got Louisiana purchase call.
She in that lingerie section.
Lingerie.
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 She buying boy shorts. She buying panty hoes.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, listen to the show live, listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The chaos going on in my house. I was, my wife, I guess, is under the weather, but I was. On the third floor where we broadcast, taking a nap last night, and my wife got on the Peloton. I could hear the Peloton going, so I was kind of half asleep, and then it sounded like someone was wringing out something, and water was hitting the floor. I was wondering if there was some sort of leak in a window or something, and it turned out she had been vomiting.
Oh,
on the Peloton.
It's awful.
On the Peloton, and so that kept me up.
What's going on? She all right?
I don't know.
She all right?
I mean, she threw up. I don't know. I mean, it's not. If I ran her to the hospital every time someone threw up, I'd be a busy man. So, but she was throwing up and disrupted the sleep. Disrupted it because then she had to get towels from the room I was in and very disruptive to my sleep. So I was.
Get up and go and
well,
see
I was
what
in bed
doing.
For 4 hours.
Was this kind of a throw up and then everything's fine type deal?
Because. No,
okay.
No. She still felt ill. And it was funny because we had a kid over at our house, my daughter's friend, and her daughter, who's friends with us, but her daughter, her mom came to pick her up, and Stephanie got up to get the door. I had just gotten up from my nap, so I was in my underwear. And Stephanie got up to get the door and then had to sit down because she felt lightheaded. So my daughter opened the door for her. So she comes into our house, and I'm in my underwear in the kitchen, and my wife is sitting on the ground. And so she had to think that quite a scene going on at the old Dutcher house. Mm. Yeah, there's Daddy in the old underwear. I mean, I didn't mean to turn her on, but, you know.
It happens.
I mean, I wear boxers, silk boxers, at all times.
Now, did she vomit because Butt Rock Guy was doing the Peloton class?
I didn't ask if she was rocking too hard or if all of her juices went downstairs and caused a disruption.
That could be the thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like you play two Nickelback songs in a row. I think that's an immediate recipe for sickness.
Yeah, immediately I thought she was watching Butt Rock Guy and was getting so aroused that she had to wring out the seat. But that was not the case. Maybe she was just dehydrated the whole day from intense erotic pleasures. But nonetheless, that was the case. And so, you heard it yesterday. The kids are fighting. Mm-hmm. And then I took them sledding, though.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to go sledding.
Sure.
And I went sledding myself. And it's one thing about getting older is that I can get wounds now and be unaware of them. Mm-hmm. I went and I tried to stand up going down the hill thing.
That's a mistake.
And then at the bottom of the hill, there was, it's not that hard. And then at the bottom of the hill, there turns to watery ice.
Yeah.
And I hit that and kind of skidded out. And my jacket came up because, you know, I'm old and fat. And then I hit the jagged ice. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then I got home, and I took off my shirt, and my wife was like, oh, Jesus, what happened to you? And I went, what? And she's like, there's deep cuts all over your back. And I was like, oh, Mama, don't worry. Just goes with being extreme. Just goes with the territory. But apparently I was unaware that I had injured myself in that way. So that's good to know. From now on, if I hurt myself, that it's yesterday's tomatoes.
Well, the best thing about sledding at Boston Common when it would snow was always the mystery items that you would find as you landed and you would reach into the snow. There was one time where we actually found a needle, which was fantastic.
No, you don't want that. That could have the AIDS on it.
You don't.
Any hills? Any hills on Nantucket to sled on?
Here, no. You can't do it here. No, at Boston Common when it would snow, it was awesome because, you know, there was this. Over where the little gazebo is near where the frog pond is, but that's usually where, I mean, if you walk close, a blind man could know they're walking in the right direction because the smell of just pot, everyone just goes up there. And that was even before it was legalized. I mean, everyone would just go up there and just get stoned. And it was kind of agreed to, and people nodded their head and nobody arrested anybody. It was the spot to do it. But when it was snowing, those people kind of get, you know, jettisoned out because it's all kids with their sleds and everything. But it's true. I mean, you would find some of the neatest paraphernalia as you were sledding down there. Not a care in the world, just rolling around in needles.
Yeah, you get hepatitis, AIDS. You don't want any of that. That thing punctures the skin. You're in deep yogurt, even if it's been sitting there for a while.
Thank goodness you got, you know, the Christmas Story level of jackets on that hopefully protects you from that.
Yeah, you don't want to be sledding where there's AIDS needles.
No.
I would say that in Newton, that's not a problem.
Newton needles.
Newton, you do your heroin in your car, or you know, in your house.
Very clean,
sure.
As soon as you get to Natick is when people start just going outside and shooting heroin because they've been inspired by all the fast food restaurants.
Nah, we got a pond to throw all those needles into in Natick, so we're good.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe Crystal Lake. If you go in the beautiful Crystal Lake, the majestic Crystal Lake, where $20 will get you a day on Crystal Lake, where it's one of those great lakes where the bottom is just entirely seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a depository for needles. I don't know. But, no needles outside.
Do any of your friends out in the burbs have the ice hockey rink in the back? Have anyone gone down that route? Okay, they do.
There are three in my neighborhood alone.
Well, how would you know? If only someone would put them on social media.
That's right. Right.
If only someone could capture their outdoor rink and put it on social media, then I would know that they have
the
one.
The great because part about it is you put that in your backyard, and it's hard to do. I mean, it's labor-intensive to get it done. And then after the first couple of days of the kids skating on it, I walk my dog through that neighborhood all the time. No one's ever on those rinks
anymore.
See,
that's the thing. That is a effort-reward scenario that just never seems worth it.
Yes.
Now, granted, if I could just show up and it was there, oh, that would be awesome. We'd get a good couple of hours out of it, maybe even a good hour a week or 2 hours a week. That would be fantastic on the weekends. But the gargantuan pain in the ass that not only setting up that would be, but the maintenance of it, you want to talk about things that just do not seem worth it at all. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe people are in love with their backyard hockey rinks. But every time I see one, I just think with every pristine photo, as you said, that's posted, just the nightmare that surrounds the before and after of that photo does not seem at all like it's worth the time and effort.
Well, Tony Maz has got one. Adam Kamer's got one. Chris Freskin's got one. I'm just going off the top of my head on social media.
I mean, if you can keep that thing and not have to worry about it, and you got some magic recipe to not have to maintain it or whatever, great. But it just seems like it would be, especially the way the weather is around here. I mean, it's freezing, and then all of a sudden, you know, it'll hit 50. And I don't know how do you maintain the pond when it's 50 degrees for a couple of days in a row.
Well, you only need it once to take the picture and put it up on social media.
That's right.
You don't need to. I mean, come on. You don't need to use it. You just use it once, and then you put the picture up on social media, and you go, "Huh? Is he what I did?" And then everyone looks at it and they go, "You're living such a good life."
And the other part of it is those rinks, while nice to look at for a five, 10 or 15 seconds, aren't very big. So if you're over the age of, what, 8, 9?
Oh,
I mean, two or three strides and you've gone from end to end.
Yeah, it seems to me it's one of those things that if you lived in a neighborhood, you'd hope that one of your kids' friends had one. And then you can go over and skate with your friend, and then you don't have to worry about any of it afterwards. Because that just, and it's got to ruin your lawn too, right? Like when you're done with how long does it take for the grass to grow back underneath?
We'll have to wait till summer and see how the backyard photos go in the summer when they're like just another summer day. Maybe they put in a pizza oven outside and you can see a picture of that too. If you build the rink and you put the effort into it, the real reward is taking a picture and putting it up on the internet and saying to people, this is, look at what I'm doing. This is my life. Look at what I do for my children. And then everyone that looks at it goes, I always wondered about that guy in high school, but it seems like he's doing a pretty good job. They got lights hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right, John. So you can do two pushes.
Yeah,
then
you're done. You go one to one side. Those are built for four-year-olds.
Yeah.
It can't be any older.
If you were doing, like, mad drills and stuff back there, like, if I don't know, I don't play hockey, but I'm sure that there's drills that you can do where it doesn't require a whole lot of skating. That's great. But then again, that's not the point, is it? The point is to show people, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. My little Eden here in the backyard. All right, Rich, you've been quiet on Facebook. I haven't seen you in a while post anything.
I posted something yesterday.
You did?
A memory came up from like a while back. I'd posted a picture of us, my old band with Vince Neil, and it was the night before he got drunk and went missing.
So. See, that's good. That's a good one. That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
That's worthy of putting up.
I don't post a ton of stuff on Facebook. I don't post anything unless it's like, all right, well, that's worth it. You know, and it's
like it's kind of funny or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm not batting 1,000. Put it that way. There's ones I put up there, and I'm like, I don't know why.
Well, when you have little kids, like tiny kids, you go insane. I don't know if you still do, but like, I mean, that's you understand. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my friend's kids are my kids' age, and you've had them for 10, 12 years. Like, you know, dude, I get it. Right. You have kids. Like, and then like you're not in your life is not, you know, the way you're portraying it on the internet. You putting all this up on the internet is telling me something else is going on.
Can we just discuss something real quick? I know we got a break. There's got to be some sort of equation of like almost a limit of how much you can post on Facebook a day until you should be considered a psycho.
Yeah.
And I think it's lower than most people do. I think that if you're posting more than two things a day, you could be considered a psycho. And then it just gets exponentially higher from there. Like, I mean, one thing a day is probably, like, you know, proper. That's it. Two things, okay, oh, I forgot about this. Understood. But if you're posting more than two things a day, especially if you're posting, like, 10 things a day, you're psycho. Because there's some people who do that still. I remember when it first came out, people had felt they had enough day. But now, I got to think that that might be the ultimate dating red flag.
Well, there's someone we know very well who's thrown them up all over the place because my whole feed is this gentleman. So, and he's going, he's just putting it all out there. And what I'll give him credit for, Crash, is that at least he's admitting things aren't going well. So, like, that I give him credit for. So
he's also a rare person that his stuff's entertaining. Like, when he posts stuff, it's always good.
Because his life is fascinating because of his age and his behavior. And the idea that, you know, I don't know. He's going through a lot, but at least he's putting it up there. So I would say you're correct, because when you have someone like Crash who's being honest and they're putting a ton of stuff up, yeah, he's going through a lot of crap. So yeah, if you're putting stuff up, why do you have to tell everyone everything you're doing? Like,
it's not even what you're doing. It could be like an article you found.
Yeah, well, that's just stupid.
And at that point, as I said, two could be one thing you did, and oh, here's a neat article. Okay, I understand that, but I think any more than two, that might just be like someone I don't think I want to spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, and like why do you have to why do you have to convince me of anything? Like, I don't like what am I going to do for you? You know, like, it's one thing if I belong to, like, hey, open the schools, the Facebook page, and people put things up there and, you know, articles, and then because I want that, I like that information. But yeah, like, if it's something about, like, politics or something, and it's like what. Like, why are you convincing me of anything? Why are you trying to get, what do I have to do with you?
And also, sometimes it quickly becomes white noise. Like, if there's somebody who I hardly post anything and they'll post an article, I'll stop. Sure. I'll be like, oh, wow. Okay.
Sure. Well, because it obviously means something to them. Right.
Right. But the person who posts, you know, 20 articles a day, I'm ignoring everything.
Well, I stop being friends with them. And I do it as an aggressive manner. I do it so they'll notice. Because I take it they notice those things. We worked with a woman who's gone out the window. I had to stop following her. And like
I don't even know who you're talking about. Because I might have unfollowed them a long time ago.
You probably did. And because I made the mistake one time of going like, dear Lord, you post a lot. And the message is back.
Don't do that.
The message is back. And then I was like, all right, well, time to not do business with you anymore, young woman. This is you have gone cuckoo. But I have a friend I went to high school with that as a backyard hockey rink, and he just keeps posting and posting and posting. And I'm thinking, what is going on in your life, man? You're a man. You're a 46-year-old man. Come on. Like, what's going on behind the scenes that you have to put up this facade of this domestic bliss?
I think the first pick is awesome, fine. You know, look what I've been doing. Because to you, it was massively important. Like, it's been consumed your life probably for the last, like, couple of weeks getting this thing up. I get it. Post that.
I didn't say one.
But if you continue to do it.
I didn't say one.
That's what I'm saying, Fred.
It wouldn't register
after the one, you know.
One wouldn't register to me. Listen, I it sounds like it on the radio, but I'm not constantly, like, judging people. But when I'm barraged, when I'm beaten over the head with it, over and over and over, I told the, because I like the guy still, but I had to make it so I didn't see his stuff anymore, because it was like, dude, like, look at these fellas, they're up and at it this morning, you know. Okay, dude,
that's probably for their mom and stuff. Like, I mean,
send your mom there's a million devices you can send your mom pictures.
Send her a text message.
What do you got to go outside with a Marshall stack and start yelling? Text her, email her. There's a billion ways to do things. I mean, I don't communicate with my bank over Facebook. You know, there's a million ways to do that. Get out with, I don't need to know it. You communicate with your mom. My Lord, write a letter. Please, FedEx it. Don't need to see it. It just makes me think that your life sucks is all. That's all. All right, because when I was posting up a storm, not on Facebook, but on things, things were probably going sideways a little ways in my life. If you probably looked post to way things were going for me, it's probably the more post, the worst. So if I'm rolling around not posted, it means things are pretty normal, I would say. All right, Rich, what's going on? What are we going to talk about?
The Celtics, yes, they needed a win, and they got one last night. And there's a certain player, Fred, that I think that you might be proud of, a guy that I know that you questioned whether his worth was anything on the Celtics, and was the little guy that could last night, Fred.
Oh, excellent. I look forward to that. We will hear all about it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recap me what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Boy, do the Celtics need that one.
Raymond Green for Steph. Offensive end. Steph angles to his left. Almost lost the dribble. Falls away in the corner. Very tough three. Banks off the glass. No good. Rebound. Kemba punches it. Loose on the floor. Golden State has it. Draymond Green finds Curry, but before he can launch a shot, the clock will hit triple zeros. A wild scramble to finish. But the Celtics did just enough. Reaching loose balls. Killing enough time. Making just enough free throws. It wasn't always pretty, but the Celtics, through sheer will, particularly that Jaylen Brown run midway through the fourth quarter, have enough to get the first game on the trip, despite a throwback performance from Steph Curry. The final score.
Yep, beaten, battered, and bruised Celtics had been having a hard time lately scrambling together wins, and that's why last night's 111-107 victory over the Warriors was just that more important. They had lost two games in a row this road trip. They had lost two games in a row, and this road trip, rather, that they just started isn't going to be a cakewalk. Now, Steph Curry, at first, couldn't be stopped. I mean, he scored 17 points at will in the first quarter alone. It looked like this game was just getting away from the Seas. And finally, in the second half, they slowed him down to only 16 points, which, let's be honest, 16 points and a half against Steph Curry really isn't that bad. But it was good to see the Celtics' big three building their chemistry once again.
Extra pass to Oubre. Ball knocked away from him. Takes a layup away from Oubre. Kemba lobs it ahead of Jaylen. Attacks right down the middle and throws down a violent right-hand slam. Celtics by 10. Jaylen Brown, undeniable.
Somebody went in his mama's cabinet and grabbed her cookies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I miss that. We haven't heard one of those in a while.
I mean, someone jingle jangled her boobies around, if you know what I'm saying.
Grabbed her cookies. I guess that could be interpreted that way.
Grabbed them cakes.
By the way, how great is it that Jaylen's making the dunks that he used to miss now?
That's a good point.
I mean, there were so many of them. I mean, there was really no more player that was embarrassing as much as Jaylen Brown was going in for a tomahawk. Because, I mean, how often did he get rejected? It just happened all the time by the rim, but now they're going in, and you know, they do look cool. Well, he was very good. Tatum was excellent. 27 points, 9 rebounds, and just Tatum's making shots from everywhere. I mean, there's no place on the court he can't make a shot now. The fadeaway jumper thing that he had a hard time with, I remember that everyone thought he was going to Kobe. He's been great on that. From three, he's been excellent.
Well,
going
not,
to the
not
rim.
Just, not just from three, but he's mastered the James Harden step away three.
Yeah.
Which is very important in today's day and age. Yes.
He just is like a slithery underneath the bucket, too. He had a couple shots yesterday where you just don't know how he got it off. But he's been great. Kemba had a great bounce back game, too. He didn't look good in the last one, but he looked good last night. night, 19 points, 7 rebounds. But listen, can we all agree that the real talent last night was the one that got away from the Celtics?
Kevin Looney?
On the opposite, on the opposite end of the court.
I like Looney's jersey because I wear it. It's my personality. I put it on it. It's Looney. Yeah. And I'm like, get me in a Looney band.
Is it like JT and Looney? It's a Looney.
How excited was Looney? I mean, he's in the area. I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah, he could get that jersey. He doesn't have to change it.
Too muscular to fit into that one. You know,
you show it. Well, listen, if you rip a couple of seams, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, we're talking about this dreamboat.
4 seconds on the shot clock. Wanamaker catch and shoot. Right side three is good. He sticks a dagger into his old team.
Oh, Brad Wanamaker.
And that was his only basket of the night. You didn't think I knew that?
Hey,
three points, and there they were. And, of course, you had to play them.
All right, mister, I only look at the stat sheet. Apparently, you didn't watch every minute of last night's game.
Well, you know
I
what?
Fell asleep at the half. And
I would have had to make sure I watched every minute because he only played 12 of them.
How Boston let you slip through their fingers there, Wanamaker. It's a crime, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
Fred, listen, however, this was interesting because despite missing 2 free throws at the end, your guy Grant Williams, he did pretty good last night. He helped slow down Curry in the second half. He made all 5 of his shots, including 3 three-pointers. A little boy's all grown up. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that Grant Williams has all of a sudden become a guy you can rely on because, as John can tell you, he has not. Like, he is all over the place. Yeah. I don't even know what to expect from this guy on any given night if he gets minutes.
That's the thing. Sometimes he plays, and now sometimes he doesn't. But considering the state of the Celtics bench at the moment,
you gotta play
it was
him.
Good that somebody stepped up, and last night it was him.
Yeah, he's good.
He did well last night. Fred, I'm obviously busting your balls because I know you didn't think he'd be
He's not going to be anything. I mean, they're desperately looking for people to play his position. That's their entire goal with this trade exception is to get someone who's not him. So yes,
I thought they were looking for more like a shooter, like a 3-point shooter.
He is a forward on this team that can't shoot. So they are looking
he's
for
getting
someone
better. He's getting better as a shooter.
I will say,
all right, guys.
He is somewhat of a 3-point threat.
Okay. We'll have Danny
not
and
gonna
John.
Be a star.
And, but, and we'll, no, not only not going to be a star. I don't know how long he's going to be in the NBA. If you look at him physically and look at his game and tell me that he's an NBA player, a long-term NBA player, you're nuts.
For his second year and what they expected of him, he's either right at where they want him to be or just below it. I agree. He's not anything special. And you wish right now more than anything this bench could be more reliable. And to be honest, I'm counting down the days till Peyton Pritchard is coming back.
If this team is constructed the way that Brad Stevens wants it constructed, Grant Williams is not playing basketball on it. Grant Williams might be on the bench.
Yes. He's not right. He would be on the bench and he'd be further down the bench.
Right. But, he would get in. I mean, he might average 5 minutes a game. So that is the dream of, if you asked Brad Stevens, that would be his dream.
They needed him last night, and he actually did okay, especially, you know, on Steph Curry, which is not an easy thing to do. But Jason Tatum afterwards felt pretty good about that win, obviously.
I mean, we know what we're capable of, but right now we're just trying to take it one game at a time. Just trying to get better, focus on ourselves.
I don't know if you heard Steve Kerr before the game, and Steve Kerr obviously is, you know, not a guy who's gonna, he's not gonna BS you, and he also isn't gonna butter you up too much. But that dude couldn't stop fawning over Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I mean, he was just like the comparisons between Steph and Clay as far as these two young guys coming up in the organization together, the maturity he said he saw out of them. I mean, you know, those guys are getting a ton of respect from the league, and Tatum's just been so much fun to watch. But this is going to be interesting because no sleep for the weary, and that includes us because we get a nice 10 p.m. tip-off in Sacramento. That means Kemba's not playing tonight, right, John? Because
yeah, back-to-back. They usually don't play him on back-to-back, so I would imagine he would not play tonight. So now what do you do? If you're the Celtics, you have to put together a starting lineup.
Taco time.
So what do you do?
You probably got to play him. I mean, you probably tonight has to be an exception. I think you got to give him some
so.
Minutes.
Carson Edwards.
I don't think so. Don't laugh.
Tremont
Waters is going to get some time tonight because I don't think Walker's going to play.
I wouldn't mind seeing Tremont Waters out there. Sure, against the Kings? Why not? You know, if there's any game that you can throw him in there and see what's going on, sure, let's do it.
Kings next to the Nets, there's two teams that are out to be the worst defensive teams of all time, and I guess Sacramento is one of them. Not that I've seen them play.
Right. Well, that's that stat that I tweeted out yesterday, which is just my favorite stat. And that is that the Nets, since they got James Harden, are statistically the best offensive team of all time, if you drew it out for an entire year. But they're also defensively the worst team of all time.
Well, that was Sacramento, by the way, I guess, before Harden got there. Yeah, and Sacramento's got that kid that everyone started going, Halliburton, that everyone started going crazy about during the draft. And guess what? He's actually very good.
Yes.
And he fell in the lottery for some reason. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Danny Amendola really doesn't like Bill Belichick. I know we played that clip yesterday. The flamethrower tour continued. And now I'm like wondering, like, what did he do to hurt you, Danny?
I saw Dockett on the flamethrower tour.
Okay.
Well, that's burning like a flame.
Did they play Dream Warriors from the Nightmare on Elm Street 3 soundtrack?
No, it wasn't for Poser fans. It was Deep Cuts only. I mean, they opened up with Burning Like a Flame, where they clowned around at the firehouse. But
you know what band wasn't good? Dokken.
No. I will go to my grave saying that Dokken. I own Dokken albums because you had to. Like, they made you. But Burning Like a Flame was the only song that could be considered... that it had a nice bridge and chorus and everything. Everything else was not good. No, I'm on the same page as you. They had something going on where you had to buy their albums, but that was that. All right, so we'll be right back here then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub, but we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
What did Bill Belichick do to Danny Amendola?
Amendola kept taking less and less money and then just got discarded like yesterday's tomatoes.
Did he hurt you, Danny? Yesterday we played a clip of Amendola saying that when you look up the Patriot Way in the dictionary, there's a picture of Brady and not Belichick, which is fake news. Because I checked and there's no listing for the Patriot Way in the dictionary. Suck on that, snowflake.
Not ODB, not Oxford English, not ODB, OED, Oxford English Dictionary. But, I mean, if you might want to go to a secondary source.
Oh. One of the secondary dictionaries.
Well, there are.
State Dictionary.
There's Oxford English, and then there's the Britannica. There's Merriam-Webster.
Ah, okay. I need to go down that road. Yeah. But the burning down Belichick tour continued yesterday on Colin Cowherd. And when it comes to Danny Ainge, or Danny Amendola, rather, let's just say the kitten's got claws.
You left New England. You got tired of it. It wore you out. You know, they ask you constantly, Danny, to sacrifice money, sacrifice individualism. You know, listen, I get it. Like, that, when you left there, were you worn out a little bit with New England?
Well, I was an extreme, you know, I was a huge fan of Bill and the way he coached and his tactics and what he did to prepare us for the game. I loved playing for Bill. In a lot of cases, it was the same reason why I went to Detroit and got to play for Coach Patricia. But the fact that he also wore the GM hat and I had to negotiate my contract with him 3 years in a row by myself and take pay cuts to, you know, help him and put rings on his finger kind of wore me the wrong way. So I felt like it was in best interest for me to move on.
I don't want to be the a-hole to say it, but Belichick was right. How do I know that? Well, because after Danny left, they won another ring without him. So, I mean, he was right. I don't know why he's...
Also put rings on...
You're the one who said it. Danny's You're the thing. A-hole who said it.
I'm the a-hole.
Yeah. So,
but Amendola...
Just sit in it for a while.
He was not done. He wanted to continue piling on Bill Belichick.
Do you think in the end, Tom leaving and succeeding like this, as a player, does it make you happy? It's not anti-Bill, but it's more that Tom's kind of proving it was about the player, not the coach.
Yeah, I'm definitely not anti-Bill, man. I love what he's done and how he approaches the game as a head coach. Again, business is business, and you got to be doing. And I learned from Bill, you got to do business as business is being done. And you know, if he wants to cut your pay in half, and you can get more on the street, and you can go somewhere else and help provide for your family, then that's what you got to do. And I feel like you know, that's the same reason why Tom is out of New England, and he's on to Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
So. You might want to invest in an agent.
Yeah, that was the thing. You're negotiating by yourself. Yeah, these are big contracts you're negotiating. What are you doing?
And plus, those guys only get like 2.5% their agents. So there's a rule with the Players Association. So you're not even giving up that much money. So if you're negotiating your contracts on your own and you're taking it personally, that's on you. You need to hire a guy. You probably make more money. And less aggravation, quite frankly, if you're a Danny Amendola.
Maybe you would have been able to keep a little bit of that cash, and you probably wouldn't have made here what you ended up making when you left, but still, you could have made just a little bit less and possibly won another championship. Hey, who knows?
Did Cowher ask him about Belichick's success in this year's Super Bowl?
He asked him what he thought Belichick's plan was going to be for Sunday. Yes, he did. Which is one of the weirdest clips we've ever played, is that Colin Cowherd on Monday's show sounded like he actually thought Belichick was coaching this weekend, which was really strange.
Against Andy Reid, by the way, is the way he set it up.
Yeah, he thought Bruce Arians was Bill Belichick. I don't know what's going on. And he didn't misuse his name because he like quoted stats of Bill Belichick's and things that Bill Belichick did and their tendencies.
Yeah, he wasn't talking about Bruce Arians and said Bill Belichick, which is obviously understandable. But no, he went into a big thing about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was bizarre, to say the least. Bizarre.
With the whole Bill Belichick situation where everyone, you know, seems to be speaking out about how they don't want to come here, like Matt Stafford saying that any team but New England, and now you got Danny Amendola. Where does that leave the Patriots' search for quarterback? Well, for one thing, Rodney Harrison, he was, I think he was on Pro Football Talk, and he was being asked, or maybe it was with Tommy Curran, and he was asked about Cam Newton and what they thought about Cam Newton returning. And it sounds like Rodney Harrison is on Team John Wallach, because I think they believe the exact same thing.
Would you be stunned if Bill said, you know what, come back, Cam. We'll do it again.
That would be the worst decision he ever made, because now you're not being fair to your team. Mm-hmm. You're not being fair to your team. When I saw what I saw with Cam, every time I saw Cam play, pretty much, I was hurt. Because I was a guy that believed in Cam. And when you see him drop back and he continues to throw the ball into the ground, throw it 5 feet or 5 yards above somebody else, you're like, what are you doing, Cam? Mm-hmm. Trust me, we're all fans. And yeah, we're Patriot fans, but we're football fans. We want to see these young men do well in their lives and in their livelihood. You have to find a quarterback. And it would be a terrible mistake for Bill Belichick to bring Cam back, because Cam can't play football anymore. He just can't play quarterback in the National Football League.
Which I think we've noticed he's done.
He's done.
Yeah, that's the facts. I mean, he's reporting the facts. I like how you have to say a million times about how great he is and how depressing it is to see that. I don't know. Cam Newton has some kind of spell all over everyone that around the league where they just love him. Oh, do they love Cam Newton?
I got to be honest with you, and I'm sure he's a great teammate. Fans love him. You know, not fans, but teammates love him. He's great for the locker room. When you've lost five in a row, you're 2-5. You know, being positive is fine, but after a while, it becomes annoying if you keep losing game after game after game. I mean, just show a little anger. You're losing. You're getting beaten over the head. You can't throw a ball 10 yards down the field. You can't bring this man back.
Brinson thinks that it was all a COVID thing. And in a regular year, when there was none of the testing and none of the people being kept out, or and Cam Newton not getting COVID, Will Brinson, and correct me if I'm misinterpreting what he was saying yesterday, thinks that this team was a playoff team.
Brinson lives in North Carolina and obviously has a relationship with Cam Newton. That's the only way to explain it. It's funny, too, because when Gardner Minshew sucks, people don't go, oh, Minshew, like, he's a great guy, and, you know, you just got to get to know him, and, you know, it's really depressing to see him not play well. And when you see other quarterbacks have the same kind of problems. People don't go, oh, that's so depressed. It's just Cam Newton's got some kind of thing where if you're going to state the obvious that he sucks, you have to, you know, have a little preamble before it where you talk about how wonderful he is, an asterisk on it.
COVID is shocking. It is shocking how well he handled this situation, though. Like, yeah. I mean, especially a guy who has had a reputation at times for being a bit difficult, especially like with the press. I mean, he's got there's tape to prove it. For him to come up here and to be on a team that was this mediocre to bad and handle it like a champ, you know, was, to be quite honest, impressive. But I don't need to over, like, throw more praise on it than it's worth.
Well, he was humbled. I mean, what's he going to do? Is he going to act like it's not his fault? He has to sit in those meetings.
Yeah, a lot of athletes do that. A lot of athletes can't take humbling well, and he did.
Well, you also have to remember he was playing for his next contract. He got paid, what, $1 million? He was playing for his future, and it didn't work out that well. And getting back to Will Brinson, I don't know if COVID affected Cam's accuracy and inability to throw the ball to half of the field after about 8 weeks off the COVID list.
Well, he didn't have a preseason, you understand?
Okay.
He didn't have training camp.
And that affected him around Thanksgiving in December. That's a good point by you.
Well, that was also the same people that said that the Patriots were merely ramping up and that, well, this was a big narrative. And that if you count what would have been the preseason, that adds 4 weeks onto the season, and then that they were playing well at that time, so look out, world.
I don't think that, you know, they would have played as bad as they did if everything was normal. But to make the playoffs, like Brinson wanted them to, they would have had to have won 4 more games just to be in the conversation in this division.
Miami won 10 and didn't get in, right?
So you would have had to have won 4 more games than you did, an entire quarter of the season more than you did. And I don't know if that's something that, I mean, you could, listen, give him the Chiefs game, fine, because Will Brinson mentioned that. Maybe even give him that Buffalo game, because
Don't forget Seattle. He got tackled on the one.
Yeah, they would have won every close game.
If you won every close game, you still only get 3, I believe, out of that.
No, but so, but it goes to, it stands 4. To reason if a game's close and you lose that you would have won it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm trying to indulge Will Brinson's theory here and do best case scenario because
I've heard all the theories all season long. I heard the theories, the deniers that this. I heard it. I mean, we had conversations with Jeff Howe.
Fred, the biggest denier sounds like is Bill Belichick. I mean, from what we're hearing and from what Bert told us and I forget who else we had on, you know, they believe that Bill thinks last season was just a write-off. And on top of that, that his team is better than everyone else thinks it is. So as far as having to do some major tweaks for next year, you know, according to the people we've talked to, that doesn't seem to be what's in Bill Belichick's head right now. He thinks they might be good enough to go right back out and do it and then make the playoffs with what they have.
I just think it's going to be funny when they try to sign Allen Robinson or something and he goes, no, because Allen Robinson wants to play for the green and white, my friends. If you look at his Instagram, that's what he's putting out there for the people.
The Jets are the in destination is what you're telling me now.
I have no idea why. And
they have 3 good receivers now, right?
No, they have 2. But they don't have a number one. They have Mims and Crowder, but they need a number one. They need a vertical threat. A guy who can stretch that field like there's no tomorrow.
You need a quarterback that can get him the ball, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
That's the guy who's coming in. I saw a picture of him when he got his helmet knocked off and his mustache was sitting there on the turf. I laughed and laughed and laughed.
But he's really cool looking. Did he have the bandana on under the helmet?
It might have flown off with the helmet.
Okay.
I've been fighting myself before I take a nap watching YouTube videos of blindside hits.
Oh, very relaxing.
Yeah, I do. I find it that feeling of just the body of the person being hit just completely succumb to the energy.
That's an ASMR thing for you?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.